Welcome to ID the Future. On this episode, Thomas Woodward, host of the radio program The Universe Next Door, speaks with Center for Science and Culture Senior Fellow John West about his book Darwin Day in America and the just-released new and expanded edition of the book.
Welcome to The Universe Next Door, where today we are excited to have with us John West, who is the author of a very important book called Darwin Day in America, which is going to be released in a new updated edition. Welcome to the program, Dr. John West.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Well, it's exciting to hear about the development that you have brought about through very careful research and writing of an afterword, now that it's going to be released in this updated, expanded edition. So if you would just remind us the thrust of the book itself. Darwin Day in America, originally released 2007, was at the time of its release a rare gem. It's still a rare gem because of its unique coverage. Give us the sense of the book before we talk about the new added chapter.
Sure. Basically, the thrust of the book was to examine Darwin's theory and, more broadly, other forms of scientific materialism, you know, efforts to say that we're just nothing more than blind matter in motion, and show the huge social consequences that those ideas have had. I think a lot of people think that science is up there in the ivory tower. It's something scientists do. They don't realize just how consequential those ideas are for how we live, how we die, how we operate with each other. And so in the original book, I looked at areas like criminal justice, ideas of criminal justice and personal responsibility. Economics and welfare was another area. Education, particularly in the area of biology and also sexuality. And then bioethics, so life and death issues. And all of these areas really impacted by our views about science. And so I take the broad sweep of history, basically from the mid-19th century up to today, to the latest headlines. And then in this new edition, as you mentioned, I was able to add an entirely new chapter called Scientism in the Age of Obama and Beyond. And so that will, I'm sure we'll discuss some of that. But the overall issue is looking at how science has been misused. Science is a good thing, but how it's been misused and abused to have some pretty horrible consequences culturally.
And of course, Dr. John West with us today. He is very well known for his work in many areas, and particularly in the area of political science and economics and culture studies. Dr. John West, of course, you've been with the Discovery Institute for quite a few years. Well, how would you describe your main day-to-day duties there at Discovery Institute?
Ooh, that's hard. I'm both sort of a scholar and an administrator. I co-founded the Center for Science and Culture with Steve Meyer back in the mid-1990s, and I actually predated Steve at Discovery Institute a few years before that when it got started. So I do all sorts of things, but I have to say I cross between administration, communications, and strategy, and then also try to do my own writing and research and talking.
And of course, the fruit of that writing research is not only the original book, Darwin Day in America, but this exciting new edition. I've been reading through the afterword, the epilogue chapter, and the thrust of it is really what's been happening in the last few years, particularly as we've seen the Obama administration and some of their higher executive authorities using science in a very kind of peculiar way. And if you could just lead us into one of those distortions or interesting and rather inappropriate usages that you've seen emerging in recent days here in the current administration.
Sure. President Obama, when he first came to office in his first inaugural, made a point of saying that his goal was to, quote, restore science to its rightful place, unquote. And I think everyone would agree that science should have its rightful place, but that doesn't answer what is its rightful place. And I think what we've seen, both in the Obama administration and then more generally in society in the last few years, is the rise of what I might even call totalitarian science, which is science that's so totalistic in its outlook that its defenders claim the right to remake every sphere of human life. And just a little sort of anecdote, at the very beginning that you could tell that something wasn't quite right in the Obama administration was when the person he chose as his science czar, as his chief science advisor, his name is John Holdren. He's a physicist. he has a pretty scary history of just being extremely ideological on things like coercive population control. In fact, John Holdren actually, in the 1970s, was advocating establishing a worldwide new planetary regime to be in charge of how much population the world and each area of the world could have. He also advocated in the same book in 1977 that we should have high taxes on marriages and on baby toys in order to prevent more births.
Now, explain what you mean by that, baby toys.
The toys that you're giving, your Rattles and okay. your Fisher-Price toys or whatever that you want your babies to play with, that we were going to tax them out of existence to so that people wouldn't want to have kids. Well, I mean, this guy was on the fringes, and now he is the chief science advisor in our nation, and still is. And so the very fact that Obama chose him as his science czar at the beginning told you that something was going to not be quite the same as usual. And so we can talk about some of the specifics. Just one very simple thing is secrecy. I think in government policies, most people recognize should be based on publicly accessible knowledge. Well, the Environmental Protection Agency, and I'm for protecting the environment, but under Obama has gotten into all sorts of trouble with Congress, and actually there have been subpoena battles where they've issued new expansive regulations, which they can do, but then they refuse to release the scientific data on which they say they're basing the regulations.
Wow.
This really, again, whether you're an environmentalist or not, or where you're out on this, just as a matter of open government and an open society, this is appalling. And it took years, actually, for Congress to get some of this data. And at the end, the EPA, after it gave some data, after it was issued a subpoena, they basically said, well, but we still can't give you the real data that would allow you to replicate or allow other researchers to see the basis of what we've done.
Isn't that really kind of a bit of hubris for the administration to say we will define what science is saying and who we count as true science?
It is. And in fact, the EPA director actually defended this secrecy by saying that she was defending and protecting the data, quote, from those who are not qualified to analyze it, unquote.
Oh, my goodness. Today with us, Dr. John West. He is the author of a new expanded edition of Darwin Day in America. And Dr. West, I will say that your book is probably the most readable book, even though it's meaty, you know, full of key points and fantastically important information. It's probably the most readable Darwin issue book I've read in my life. So that's a little kind of doff of the hat to you.
Well, thank you. So I
don't know how your students must have rated you A++ in all your lectures that you gave when you were a professor of political science there. At least that's my inference.
Well, some of them did. And so, you know, students are variable.
Yeah.
They enjoyed some of my classes. Some of them were a lot of work. So,
well, you know, and we would trust that having such an important and high profile evangelical Christian as Francis Collins serving in the upper reaches of the Obama administration would help to mollify or mediate some of these issues or some of these maybe extremes. How has that played out as we're kind of talking a little bit again about the afterword edition?
You would think so, but unfortunately, I think Francis Collins has really been a great disappointment on this. And there's one particular thing that I write about that really people need to know about. It is so appalling. And it involves National Institutes of Health. That's what he is the head of. Funded study for thousands of premature babies, and it dealt with oxygen levels that you give them, and they were trying to find out what's the best oxygen level to give them, and of course that's an important thing to do, but this particular study basically gave some higher levels, some lower levels, and you know, if you had the higher levels, you were likely to go blind. If you had too low oxygen, you could die. And so this was a dangerous study for these babies. Mm-hmm. And they did not fully inform the parents of the dangers involved. And worse than that, the most appalling thing is they actually changed the oxygen equipment so that it would give false readings in order to prevent the doctors and nurses from tailoring the oxygen levels to infants based on what was happening with that infant, say, from hour to hour. And they didn't tell the parents that who signed the so-called consent forms. This flunks ethics 101, and it's really a part of a broader problem in the Obama administration and even more broadly of having ethics and good ethics being trumped by whatever the scientists want. Mm. And Francis Collins, this happened on his watch. Now, the initial study started under the Bush administration, but it came to full flowering under Francis Collins. And then when it came out that this was happening, rather than try to make it right, Francis Collins basically has been the biggest cheerleader for the study and tried to paper over any problems and try to really suppress any criticism of the study rather than fixing the problem. That, for me, is the most appalling thing.
Wow.
Maybe he can't be blamed for starting the study, but when it came on his watch, not fixing it, defending something that is just beyond the pale, is really concerning.
Yes. Well, I appreciate the passion and the intelligent research behind that passion. With us today, Dr. John West, and he, of course, almost needs no introduction because of his work with the Center for Science and Culture of the Discovery Institute. We're going to be right back with Dr. John West and talk a little bit more about the meat in this incredible added chapter of an amazing book, Darwin Day in America, here on The Universe Next Door. We'll be right back after this quick break.
You've just heard the first part of Thomas Woodward's interview with John West, author of Darwin Day in America. A brand new second edition of Darwin Day in America has just been released and includes a brand new chapter titled Scientism in the Age of Obama and Beyond. For more information about the book and to order your copy, visit darwindayinamerica.com. That's darwindayinamerica.com. Stay tuned to ID the Future for more with Senior Fellow and author John West on future episodes.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.